Bear Podcast 467.
It involves showing more fur.
There's nothing like making a pig bottom squeal than using bacon lube.
Village Deer Pull-Up Cage.
Hey, all you bears.
Okay, I just saw this on Facebook today. I think he's positive. You think he's just positive?
And I got my ass chewed out by everyone.
It's Thanksgiving. The gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Laying on the couch eating bonbons and chocolate.
Just that. I saw it next to him.
Who's on sexting with
you? You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
He called and then he was freaked out.
You're really bitter here.
Yeah, I am very bitter.
It has
been a shitty week. Bitter party of one right here. It's been a shitty week, let me tell you.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 467. And we're recording on May 6th on a Monday, 2013. It's the day after Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Drunko. And the day before that is May the 4th, blah, blah, blah. May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Yep.
So what's today?
Nah.
It's actually, the revenge
actually,
of...
Actually, today is May the 6th Sith be with you.
May the... Revenge of the 6th. Revenge of the 6th.
May the 6th.
Okay. So, yeah, it's... this is a... a special day. Well, not really a special day, but... You know, it's
no,
kind of
you're
sad.
Special,
it's my special.
You're special.
Well, we have some sad news, but we'll talk about that a bit later. But just a few weekend update stuff. So,
well, you start. You were traveling this weekend.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, this weekend I just came from the from Austin for the Texas Shootout softball tournament they're in Austin, and we've won. Fourth place, yeah. Out of there are 34 teams. There are 34 teams in the D division, and we won fourth. I'm happy about that.
Was it the double D?
Yeah, we lost against who got us out? I think it was what team was that? It was it's a Long Beach team. Mm-hmm. It's called the Queen Marys. They beat us. So
you know, the Queen Mary is docked in Long Beach. So
is what?
The Queen Mary is docked in Long Beach. You know.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, my mic is all
wobbly. This microphone is all wobbly there. Anyway, so we lost. It's a bear team. It's practically a bear team. It's pretty hot. And I like their, first baseman. The pitcher's pretty cute. The third baseman's pretty cute.
The manager's like, can I be your catcher?
Can I? Yeah, it was a fun weekend. Just to hang around with a couple of friends. And my teammates also, and just ate Austin food. It was pretty good. And after that, I drove back. We drove back Sunday night. And it was really tired. I'm really sore. After driving for 3 hours, after a whole weekend of all games.
Yeah, we know why he's really sore.
Yes, I'm sore because of softball. Okay?
Uh-huh. I'm sure balls were involved.
Right. I also went to the Iron Bear. I got to hang out with a couple of friends. I saw Jason and Russell, a couple of friends who would come to Bear Watch also. That was fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And also, we ate at Magnolia, me and Jeff, a friend of mine. Jeff Dean, if you guys are friends with him at Facebook. He's all over Facebook right now. But anyway, okay. So that's pretty much my update. Just really... A weekend of softball.
Weekend of softball.
A weekend of softball.
Well, while you were at Iron Bear, I was at Iron Man 3.
Oh! What can you say about Iron Man?
I can say I liked it. It was pretty nonstop action. Because I went and saw it at like the 11 o'clock show. And I was wide awake all the way through it. So it did, you know, it kept me awake. So mm-hmm. The only thing is, I was so freaking tired by the time it was over, and I had to use the bathroom so bad, I left before the very ending. You know, they always put that little egg, Easter egg.
Oh, you missed
thing,
the Easter egg?
Easter egg and stuff. But apparently, Tony Stark will be back.
I'm sure he will be.
So, with the
Avengers. Well, don't spoil it for me. I'm going to watch it still.
Well, you know, you're too tough. You should have went this weekend instead of going playing softball.
I could not. I played softball. Yeah.
So, but, and then Saturday, I worked on my dress for Bears and Bras. So that was big venom.
It's
Saturday.
Totally different from last year's.
Totally different.
Totally different. Okay.
Last year's. So.
All right. Looking forward to see that. Oh my God.
So, are you working on your dress?
I'm not. I don't think I'll be doing Bears in Brass this year.
I think you should. You still have your dress from last year. You can just do a different number.
Different hair, different number, same dress. Okay. Mm-hmm. So. All right. I don't know. I don't think so.
Had the beer bust yesterday. The Bears beer bust. Dave took a bunch of pictures.
And
Dave, thank you for dinner tonight.
Thank you for dinner. He cooked some Greek food.
Sorry, I messed up the interview with all the crashing.
That's okay. We ate good. We'll forgive you.
So, what else happened? Oh, okay. So, beer bust was yesterday.
Yesterday.
And it was, the pictures also are from Dave. So, thanks again, Dave, for the pictures. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, something, like I said in the top of the show, we have some an incident, or I should say something tragic that happened this weekend. And many of our friends who are also on Facebook already know about it. Our friend Tony Stiegel passed away. And we dedicate this show to his memory. And Tony Stiegel, I met him many years ago when it was Houston Area Bears. And I met him through there. He was one of the triad at some point. And he also, he's just in every event that I would go to. And he was there during our wedding, my wedding reception. He was there. And he also did our makeup from last year's Bears and Bros. He was pretty good at it. And, so, Tony, we're going to miss you. When was the first time you met him before? Long time ago.
It was with the Bear Group. I think he came and joined. It was at one of the meetings when we were still at Beepa's. So, and then of course we were on the Triad together. So we've known each other for
many years.
7-8 years now. So I think that's about right. Yeah, 7 or 8 years. So.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sad. You won't go. I'm not gonna go into details or anything, but Tony, wherever you are, you're loved. You're somebody we cherish as our friend, and we're gonna miss you.
A poem by Mark Hardy for Tony Stiegel. The brain is the source and the sum of the self. The heart is a poet, full of sonnets and fluff. The eyes are a window, though often tinted still show what's hidden inside, deep inside of our souls. Though we try to disguise, cover up and deny what we truly are feeling, what's digging inside, it all catches up to us here at the end when we lose a companion, a fellow, a friend. What could I have done? What should I have said? It all rushes forward, all filling our heads. The regrets, the wishes, the words never spoken, the vague memories, and the hearts left here broken. Yet how could I have known? We all ask in regret. He shouldn't have left us, not now, not yet. But then, it was not our decision to make, though we each have our questions all left in the wake. We must remember that we each have our own path to follow, all filled with adventure, heartache, and sorrow. Though some choose to end their journey so soon, I will continue with mine while remembering you.
Okay, so let's go on with our topics, Ray. So...
Well, our topic this week is Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
So, and pertaining to Star Trek...
Kind of nerdy. All
right. It's very nerdy, but... Michael Dorn confirms he is working on a Star Trek Captain Worf TV series.
It's a TV series? I thought it was just a movie.
No, it's a TV series. They're thinking about bringing bringing him back to the little screen. Or in, most of our cases that are geeks and nerds at the big screen. In our houses, so which I think is a great idea. But here's the story from ScreenRant.com. Geek favorites Brian Fuller and Brian Singer had been forthcoming about the hopes for bringing Star Trek back to the small screen after the release of J.J. Abrams' exclusive sequel to his Trek movie reboot next summer. However, it turns out those two aren't the only ones with big dreams about a new TV series set in the sci-fi universe. Michael Dorn is also taking steps to reprise his signature Trek role on a spinoff tentatively titled Star Trek Captain Worf.
Would it be too old for it already?
I don't know. He's older. He's probably in his 50s now, but with all the makeup, you can't tell.
I guess.
So, I mean, once you get all that makeup and stuff on, because he does the Dodge commercial. He's the guy they bring back from the future.
Oh, okay.
To design the car and stuff, which I thought was kind of funny. So,
Michael Dorn.
So, Worf, son of Mog, and of course, is the first Klingon main character on Star Trek TV, the series. He appeared on The Next Generation throughout its 7-season run, then became a Deep Space Nine regular for its last 4 seasons. Dorn portrayed Worf in all 4 Next Generation films. In addition, he played Worf's grandfather, Colonel Worf, in Star Trek IV, The Undiscovered Country. Rumors and reports about a prospective Worf spinoff began circulating earlier this year, which, perhaps not so coincidentally, marks the 25th anniversary of The Next Generation, which is why we did the Trek thing.
We watched the Star Trek Next Generation by Fathom Events. Yeah.
Trek News caught up with the recently with Dorn, who gave them the following exclusive scoop on the project.
Okay, what did it say?
I had come up with the idea because I love Worf and I think he's a character that hasn't been fully developed and hasn't been fully realized. Once I started thinking about it, it became obvious to me that I wanted to be at least put it out there, which I have, and the response has been pretty amazing. We've been contacted by different individuals, I can't say who, and all that about wanting to come on board and be part of this. Deep Space Nine concluded with Worf being made Federation ambassador to the Klingon homeworld. An official prequel comic book, Konos, an official prequel comic book to Abrams' Trek reboot, featured Worf as a Klingon Empire general who battles the Romulan Captain Nero, Eric Bana, in Abrams' film. Worf sustained life-threatening injuries during the encounter, but was indicated he was still alive by the story's conclusion. However, the overlap between the events on Deep Space Nine and Star Trek film continuity has always been kind of fuzzy. Hence, it stands to reason that could also hold true for a Worf spinoff in the post-reboot movies. Dorn's in the same boat of uncertainty as Fuller and Singer when it comes to how his plans are affected by Abrams' films. As he put it, there's all the political stuff going on with the new movies, which J.J. Abrams and Paramount and all that stuff, which I have no clue about and what it enthralls, but that's where it is right now. So they put the thought out there, some people are interested, and we'll see where it goes. So it is a good concept.
Yeah, it is. But I can't imagine him on Defiant, probably sitting down.
I don't think it would be
he's going to be the captain, so.
Well, I don't think he might not necessarily be a captain of a ship. I mean, they might go with the whole ambassador thing to the Klingon Empire, and it's all about being Klingon and delving more into that world and their relations with everything. So it could be quite interesting.
Sorry, guys, we're geeking out on the Star Trek right now, but we are
so
excited.
So close to the 17th.
Okay, are you planning to watch the Star Trek, next Star Trek? On the Wednesday? Or are you going to wait until Sunday?
If it's opening Wednesday night, I will probably go see it Wednesday night.
Okay, I'll probably do that.
I hadn't looked at the thing to see because I don't think we'll post it until after this Wednesday because they only usually list 7 days out. Mm-hmm. And everything else after that's tentative, so we'll see.
Okay.
So.
All right, so we're talking about the 17th. What's going to happen on the 17th besides Star Trek?
On the 17th, Bear Watch 14 happens on May 17th to the 19th in Galveston, Texas. There are still there's about 15 spots left. So if you want to go, go to www.bearwatch.net and get registered. They're filling up fast. I think we got about 10 hotel rooms left. So we're doing pretty good this year with getting everything booked and filled in.
I'm excited. I'm going to be your muscle. I'm going to be there helping out as usual. But then, like I said, like what happens every year, I have to miss everything in the on Sunday noon because I have softball. I have softball practice. Softball, not practice, but softball games that day. So,
Right. But just get the condoms cleaned up before you leave.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll clean the condoms. I hope there's more condoms in the floor.
He likes to drain them.
I do not drain them. No, I don't.
Okay. And then June 2nd, during the Houston Bears beer bust at Tony's Corner Pocket from 5 to 7 p.m., we will be doing Bears and Bras 2.
Part 2.
Which is my final fundraiser for Houston Area Bears. Houston Bears, excuse me. The area is gone now. As, you know, our final little last bit of charity thing. And it's something we started last year, and we've kind of put it off. And then I said, well, we got to get it in at some point. So we're doing it June 2nd.
Yeah. So what is Bears and Bras? Explain it to our audience.
It's very, very campy drag. It's like Dave in a dress, basically. And Dave just looked at me.
I can imagine David.
There's
no address.
Shaving. There's none of this. All it's a lot
no
of fun.
No manscaping.
No. We have talked to the Pfister sisters. They might be there again.
Oh, the Pfister sisters.
So we might see a new little dance from them. And I'm working on a little number, and some other people are going to be there. But it's all fun. It's all about raising money for our three charities, which is Hatch, Bearing Omega, and GCAM. So,
GCAM, okay.
So it'll be interesting. You know, this is our last little hoorah before the end of the fiscal year, and we pick new charities and all that good stuff. And I will officially no longer be on the board and have to worry about it. So it's my last hoorah as I leave. So,
yeah.
So come, even if you don't like to dress up in drag or you're just in town, come watch it. It's usually very funny. There's some very interesting things that usually happen. Maynard Strip last year. And then he made me
kind of strip.
He made me strip last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that other little Asian boy with the beaver hair that we don't ever see anymore.
Yeah, we don't see him anymore because he got married. Anyway. On with the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. And our gay is actually an interview from our friend Jane Nelson Avianz, who lives in Minneapolis.
Yep, the Twin Cities.
In the Twin Cities, so, okay.
He has written a short story here called Three by Moonlight, a collection of werewolf tales. It is a collection of three stories, each following the struggles of the heroes as they navigate a world of werewolves and magic, one often hostile to their continued breathing, much less their man-on-man relationship.
Nice.
Man-on-man, hey. No. So anyway, the first story deals with Brennan, juggles between having a boyfriend, being a newly minted teenage witch, and his first encounter with the werewolves in his hometown. Our next story deals with Duke, on the other hand, is not just a mage, but also the mate to the sexy and powerful alpha of the local wolf pack. So what does it take to keep even a small part of his life normal? Well, you have to read the story to find out.
Yep.
And then we move on to Justin, who ran away from home when his drunk father nearly beat him to death. Now, after being rescued from the streets and rescued from the streets and addiction by the handsome werewolf Aiden, he returns home to reconnect with his sister and brother, but has to deal with the lingering emotions for his former lover, the next-door neighbor, the local bruiser named Mickey.
Ah, okay.
So, now, on with that interview with Mr. Avi.
Go. Hey, everyone. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
And joining us today is Joe Avianz from Minneapolis, Minnesota. How are you, Joe?
Good. How are you?
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and Ray talked to me about having you in the show, and you have a writer on the show. That'd be great. So let me ask you, Joe, are you a native Minneapolis guy?
Yeah. Minneapolis and St. Paul are called the Twin Cities because they run into each other.
Yep.
Like it's one big metro area, and I was raised here, and then went away for college, and then came back, and went away again, and then came back. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They just couldn't get rid of you, could they?
No, they couldn't get rid of me. Yeah.
That's right.
South Carolina kicked me back and hadn't asked me back since. So.
Well, you know what? I'm a little too much for this state, to be perfectly honest. I get a lot of people who are like, what is your deal? And I'm just like, look, I got to be me. So whatever it is, whatever you are doing, whatever, I got to be me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing wrong with that at all. So,
yeah.
No.
So we brought you on, you, you have written a collection of short stories called Three by Moonlight. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the stories that you wrote?
Yeah, it's a collection of three short stories. Each has a different main character, and each is set in a different... I think they're all in the Midwest, but they're set in different locations. And two of them are about gay teens, the first and the third stories. And the second one is about a guy in his late 20s. They all involve werewolves in some way, so it made sense to call it something werewolf related.
Yeah. So we're going to ask you some questions here, and hopefully you can answer us the best you can. What got you into writing?
I've always kind of been a writer. I was really into role-playing games and especially Dungeons and Dragons, and I read a lot of the books, but you know, I wasn't involved with a group that played. I really just kind of liked to design my own stories and characters and whatever. And so, I mean, it kind of goes back forever. When I moved to Boston after I graduated from college, a friend had turned me on to Harry Potter fan fiction.
Harry Potter.
The slash fiction, right?
Oh, the slash ones, okay.
Right. I forget, there's a word for it now shipping? I think is the word for putting two characters into a relationship. So I wrote that. It was sort of cathartic. It was kind of, you know, Boston can be a lonely place, and I was there and I was, you know, didn't really know anybody. And so I spent a lot of my free time just writing. And then at some point, a relative had been like, you know, why aren't you writing something that you could actually publish? Because that stuff, you can't, I mean, it's all copywritten.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, that is a really good point.
Yeah.
So
write your own. Yeah.
So I started writing and wrote about six novels worth of stuff that, you know, probably you'll never see the light of day, but that was kind of me working things out, trying to figure out, you know, how to develop a character and all that stuff. And I sort of designed this whole universe to put my stories in. So, yeah.
Did you ever try NaNoWriMo? Just to write as much as you can. You know, they do it in November, the National Novel Writing Month.
No.
No, you didn't?
I've been, it was just sort of a free time obsession.
Okay, that's good.
And I didn't really even try, I had no intention of, well, I don't know if I had no intention, but I didn't try to publish anything. And I didn't really pursue it more seriously until much more recently, you know, and then I was between different careers and I was like, you know, I may as well, throw this out there. I may as well try to give it a shot and whatever happens, happens.
You always take risk. Yeah.
Exactly.
What drawed you to the, like, teen, young adult, gay, erotica, sci-fi, fantasy? I mean, what out of all the stuff?
This is really up at
this is right up my alley. Like I told you in the email, Ray's, I was like, man, favorite. I am on to this.
Yeah. I mean, these stories are not young adult stories.
Yeah.
They are like maybe teenagers, like late teenager stories. But young adults, I'm finding, is kind of really for like tweens, and then there's like middle grade, which is more older than tweens. So it's definitely not written for young people.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if some 14, 15, 16-year-old gay kid wants to, you know, needs some positive, I don't know, needs some sort of positive images of gay men, not, you know, gay men being normal and or I mean normal when werewolves are involved. But you know, like if they're looking for something, and it's, you know, when I was a kid, all we had was Am I Blue, you know. And so if they're looking for something, there are two teen stories in here that they may empathize with, or that they may you know really get into. But it's much more really just urban fantasy, and the majority of what I write is really urban fantasy. But you know, it's one of those things where when you have gay protagonists, it's gay fiction. Like no matter what you want it to be, it's gay. Like Brokeback Mountain was a gay movie.
Yeah.
You know, everybody tried to say, well, no, it's got gay characters, but it's not the gay cowboy movie. Well, it was, I mean, everybody still, like, that's what, you know, mainstream whatever people thought it was, oh, that's the gay cowboy movie. Well, not really, but, so yeah, so it's urban fantasy. I love writing urban fantasy. I've done the fantasy thing since I was a kid, and once urban fantasy really became sort of a solid thing, and it wasn't sort of these more nebulous contemporary fantasy things. Like there was a period in the you know mid-80s through the 90s where you had these fantasy books that were set in contemporary times, but it wasn't like gritty,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was I listened to a lot of audiobooks, and I was listening to this audiobook that is a collection of urban fantasy stuff, and I think it's Mean Streets, I think is the title. And in the introduction, one of the editors had written, this isn't fantasy, like Lord of the Rings fantasy only set in modern times. What this really is a merger of horror books and
horror. All right.
Not WHO. HORROR.
Yeah, horror. Yeah. Horror.
There's a lot of both in everything. So.
Yeah. Yes. And so a mixture of horror books and hard-boiled detective books.
Okay.
So like there's sort of a grittiness to it that you don't get necessarily with some of the contemporary fantasy. You know, and when you, as I've been looking at all these different short story publications and whatever, you know, one of the things that they often list as not wanting are stories about elves and fairies.
Oh,
like
okay.
they don't want a modern fairy tale, and they don't want, you know, they want things that are kind of darker and have an edge to them. And sometimes contemporary fantasy can be more fantastical and less edgy.
Mm-hmm. So
if that makes sense.
Yeah. So Joe, let me ask you: will we see full-length novels of any of these short stories that you've written?
I really hope so. My editor is actually finishing up my first manuscript. My first full-length novel manuscript as we speak, and I'm going to be starting my part of the revision process mid-May, so in another week or two.
Oh, okay.
And that one's about Duke, and in fact, that one is the first story about Duke.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you see him from the beginning. You get a good amount of backstory about him in this novel, and you kind of find out where he comes from, the experiences that shaped him into becoming a mage and being where he's at. And that's where he meets Eolf and the werewolf Alpha, except at that time he's not an Alpha, and there is no Twin Cities Pact.
Twin Cities.
And,
so it sounds like it was set there in the Twin Cities. So yeah, it is, I guess.
It's set in the Twin Cities.
Oh, okay.
And it's that middle story, basically. The middle story actually takes place after what I already have written but have yet to work on with my editor. I've got almost a full second novel written and of him, and this takes place like well after that beginning story. But this is where the novel will be where that first happens, and like you get a lot about you kind of see the full gamut of the supernatural world.
Okay.
Because the novel involves vampires, it's got the Seelie and Unseelie fairy courts, it's got the Dan and She, which is Irish mythology, which is separate from the fairy courts and the sort of the more elemental fae, and you see a lot.
Okay.
So yes.
So let me ask you about the title. It's Three by Moonlight, and a collection mm-hmm. of werewolf tales. It's really werewolf tales, but the main character is actually a witch.
Well, no,
the first book.
The first
book.
Because werewolves were the unifying element of all three, it made sense to make to put a title on it, the book, that reflected that unifying thing.
Okay.
That unifying element. So, you know, all three involve werewolves, even though, you know, in all three, they are sort of secondary characters and not the actual main character.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I've been I started reading the first book, and I'm mm-hmm. enjoying it, and it's interesting because the conversation it's a gay character, it's a gay witch, and I like how it started. Yeah. So
I think there should be more sex scenes between him and the boyfriend, but I'm sure that's coming in the full length novel.
So. Wait, oh, that's right. Do you plan it to be? To be, erotic. No, not. Would it be erotic? I mean, are you planning to do that in the future?
No, you know what? A lot of these had. I had a lot more erotic stuff in previous versions of not of the teen stories, but of Duke in some of the Duke's stories.
Okay.
But, you know, then it becomes a different genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Okay.
I mean, even if you're going to keep it sort of still try to identify it as urban fantasy, all of a sudden it becomes the sub genre of paranormal romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it changes the focus of what the stories are about. And all of a sudden, it's not. All of a sudden, it really is all about this, you know, about the romantic element and the sexual element, and all probably building up to some big sex scene at the end of the story, instead of being about other things. Like, instead of being sort of more about their experience with the world around them.
Okay. Interesting.
So where
I mean, it's not that I don't love, a good, you know, some hot and steamy romance stuff, especially hot and steamy with gay characters. And I have plenty of books of those that by other authors that I've read.
Well, some of the references with Duke and his partner, it seemed like it could get pretty steamy.
Yeah, I mean, so
that's what you're looking for, Ray, aren't you?
Well, you know.
The thing with Duke and Eyolf, I mean, in the stories, in the fuller books, there will be love scenes, because that's, you know, I mean, that's part of our real life experience, and I don't want to shy away from that just because it might make people uncomfortable, like that it might make an prospective readers uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you did say that you are targeting kind of an older audience in this one, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm anybody that's 16 or up mm-hmm. should be able to be fine with these books. Okay. It's just I'm not writing for 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but like, I don't, the thing about, the reason why I have gone into writing more seriously is because I don't see characters that really reflect my experience.
Oh, okay. You
know what I mean?
Well,
like there are almost no mainstream published novels that have gay main characters, except for a handful, and then there's one or two that have secondary characters. But you know, I want to make sure that I'm as honest as possible with the way that these characters, with the experiences these characters have, and their reaction to those experiences.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, it seems like to me all the stories I've read online are all written by women.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them
are female. I will say this: some of those are female pen names of male writers.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Not all of them, and maybe even the vast majority of them are women. But there are men who write in the romance style or whatever, mm-hmm. That are using female pen names.
Yeah.
The reason why urban fantasy has become such a huge seller, I think, is in large part because of paranormal romance being lumped in with urban fantasy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have what, you know, are essentially either urban fantasy books that kind of are really more romance, or you have romance books that really are, that have a paranormal element to it, and it all kind of gets lumped together. So you see a lot of female writers, which is great,
mm-hmm.
but that's in part because so many of them, I think, are writing books that are more on the romantic end.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and yeah.
Back
to Duke and Eyolf. The thing is that, so they're the same thing as Justin and Aiden. They're like soulmates.
Yeah.
And
soulmates.
It's this thing where they get so, like, they're so attuned to each other, and it's this thing where like every kiss is like fireworks and explosions.
Like you, like, and Mike, every... man. Like you and Mike.
Right. It's like basically they are in love and all that, but like the physical interaction never gets stale.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's never bad and it never gets stale. It's always, you know, really intense and mind blowing. Always. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing with them. And if I continue to write about Justin and Aiden, which, you know, those characters will probably continue to be part of my work, and they get older and Justin's no longer 17, then there'll be, you know, that'll happen with them too.
Yeah. So, well, that's cool. I hate to cut you short, but to get everybody so they know where they can find your work, where can people buy your work at?
My work is going to be available. The book Three by Moonlight is going to be available on Amazon.com in Kindle edition and paperback May 15th, as of May 15th. And then they can always look on my website, which is www.jnelsonaviance. So JNELSONAVIANCE.com.
Okay.
And I always keep that up to date, so whatever's going on. But May 15th, it should be out on Amazon.com, and they should be able to order it through. I forget when that part goes online, but eventually they'll be able to order it through their whatever local bookstore they go to.
Okay.
So, yes.
Well, cool. Awesome. Thank you. Wow.
Well, Joe, thank you for being on the show, and I personally enjoyed the collection, and which I think I told you in the email. So, but keep us up to date what other stuff you have going on, and when you got some new stuff coming out, and so everybody can follow you.
Yeah, thank you guys. You're the first to get back to me about reviewing it and all that, and it's just, it's really great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much, Joe.
All right.
Well, thank you, Joe, for joining us in the show. So if you guys want to check out his work, you can go to jnelsonavians.com. We'll put the links on the website, the show notes, so you could link to it. And you can order his books at Amazon, even the Kindle edition. I'll probably get the Kindle edition and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. It's a paperback for $5.99. Yeah, we'll
the Kindle edition, I think it was what, $2.99?
$2.99, the Kindle edition, yeah.
So
check it out.
So, Mr. Maynard, what have you got for the geek this week?
Okay, we got something for the geek. It's for people who are tech savvy, but at the same time, you have those devices around your for your exercises or whatever you want to do, your fitness.
Like Wonder Woman.
Yep. No. So Fitbit Flex activity tracking wristband now shipping for $100. Kind of expensive for a wristband. Right.
Well, it all depends. Is it a Prada wristband or is it? You know.
I don't know. Anyway, so Fitbit's freshest fitness fob, the Flex wristband, may not be the most comprehensive activity tracker on the market, but it does deliver quite a bit of a bang for your buck. And as we discovered during the review, so the company's latest gadget is set to compete with the Nike Fuel Band and Jawbone Up. But about $100, the same price. So it's more affordable than either of them. Okay, so a single Benjamin buys you a single Benjamin. You have to $100. Okay, buys you step, distance, calorie, and moderate intensity cardio time tracking with wireless Bluetooth 4.0 syncing to Android or iOS apps. It can also keep tabs on your snoozing habits, including how long and how well you slept. Offering up
screaming all the time with me. You're not sleeping enough.
Offering up tips should you need to make some tweaks. There's also a vibration alarm that'll shake you awake without disturbing others. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. It's a way to monitor yourself. Would you get one of these, Ray? I mean, if you have the money. Here's $100, you're gonna buy one.
Yeah, maybe. But what I'd like to do is I'd like for Buck Ramsey to get one and see how much bang we can get for his buck.
Ooh, Buck Ramsey.
So I think that would be pretty good for Buck to wear that, and we can see how much cardio and exercise he does doing one of his little video sessions.
That's right. Okay, so I don't know. I got a cell phone. That's why I got rid of wearing anything on my wrist. I don't like having anything on my wrist or just to... But it is interesting. Maybe for sleeping, maybe I would wear one so it could track down my sleeping habits when I REM sleep or whatever.
Yeah, those nocturnal emissions.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think it detects moisture. No, I don't think so. And it's around the wrist, not anywhere else. Okay.
Well, see, if you put it down there, it might.
It might. Okay. You can hack it to be double purpose. So I don't know if you guys are interested with this. Maybe people who are, you know, the muscle bears out there who like being fit and everything. I like it when you're snoring or something. I think it detects you, so it kind of wakes you up.
Well, then I'm gonna buy for Rocky. Maybe I can get some sleep then.
Okay, that's right. All right, so on with the bizarre.
So the robo bugs are here. Are these like those cockroaches on the movies with the little video cameras on them?
Very near. You're almost there.
Okay. So, insect robots have long held promise in the minds of sci-fi nerds. They could poke through the treasure trouble and search and rescue missions, discreetly snoop on the guilty and innocent alike, and sometimes just maybe form into giant swarms that block out the sun and do the bidding of larger, less agile robotic overlords. Hopefully that last bit won't come true, at least not before they invent robo-bug repellent. But on Thursday, the doors to the future is kicked up when engineers at Harvard revealed a penny-sized robot that can hover like a housefly, beating its wings 120 times a second. As far as we can tell, the world's smallest flying robot, Kevin Ma, Asian,
Must be Asian, a graduate school.
Graduate student at Harvard's WIS Institute and member of the robotic team told NBC News, "It's hard to argue that anything is more agile than a housefly. I think anyone who has tried to swat one would agree," said Rob Wolf of the WIS Institute at Harvard and lead researcher of the project. "This is his first control flight of an insect-scale robot. Two mechanical muscles on the robot's control the flapping and twisting motion of the wings. Previous versions of the robot would crash soon after they took off, but the most recent model has a motion capture sensor and guiding algorithm that corrects its movements as it takes off."
So in the video, it comes with the video, and it's got these small... It's like a bug. It's a small bug. Mm-hmm. And then it flies around just like
a... So we should try one out and go put it in Dave's bedroom and see what we can find.
Yeah.
Like to be a fly on that wall sometimes.
So I'd like to be a fly in the wall. But then what's kind of creepy was they were able to control it in such a way that it's a swarm that they're equidistant from each other. Mm-hmm. And they're flying around like that, being controlled. It's cool. At the same time, it's kind of creepy because it's something that could fly to you. It can be a spy. It can be a spy fly something.
Imagine what it could do for police surveillance.
Yeah.
Or wait a minute. Would that be illegal, Dave?
It would without a warrant, probably. Although there's a lot of gray area right now because there's no case law on it.
I don't think they can hear him. Okay. Anyway, so that's... it's an interesting step for the technology. Very soon, they're going to be larger. Can you imagine these small bugs be controlled like that, and then they could make something bigger, and maybe at one point they would take over the world. It's like Terminator.
But I mean,
it's like the replicators.
Yeah,
it's like the replicators.
Well, there's already privacy issues with drones.
I know that's the big thing. Is now drones can't fly over, and they can't use the video just for flying over a house.
You can't do that. So,
but they do. But they can right now. There's certain states that are not allowing it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting.
But it'd be interesting if they can make them bigger and more agile and more sensitive so they can do tasks. Like, could you imagine sending a bunch of these robotic machines out to pick peaches or apples out of a field?
Oh, that is right. So that will get kids out of the job. Usually there are kids who, just... Don't you get some kind of 5 cents for each pound or something like that?
I don't know, something like that, but... imagine just swarming them, going out there and picking the apples and peaches and whatever, bringing them back, or, maybe sending them out to explore in the Amazon and see what they can find till some big lizard eats them by mistake, or anaconda jumps up.
So. Anyway, this is an interesting technology. We'll see what happens in the future with it.
I'm sure.
Okay, so
this is just something that's kind of they've leaked out and they're letting them do it. So I'm sure what we got in real life, practical, is you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference anymore.
Yeah, probably. All right, so I guess we can close the show. But before that, we have some shout-outs.
We got a happy birthday to JB in Chicago. Happy birthday, Jay.
Hey, Jay. He was in Drench Fur with us. So.
Devin, send me my pen. My button, excuse me. John R., Phil, Lyle, Phil L., and Mark E. in Houston, and then Matt in Dallas. All happy big birthdays to you guys.
Oh, okay. So. Also, shout out to Matt in Kingwood, Texas. So I just want to say hi. And it's just, he tried out the show. He said that, I should, so after listening to the show, I should take a shower because you or go to church or something. Yeah.
he said you were too gay.
Maybe. Really? Yeah, it was too gay.
No, he said you were too gay.
I was too gay? No, you were... No, the show was gay. Or you were gay.
Yeah.
Or we both were. I don't know. Maybe it was me. Maybe.
Girl, I ain't gay.
You're just very good... What?
All right. You're just so, now comes the fun part. If you want to talk to us, you can call the show and leave us a voicemail message, and we can play it on the show, which we love to do. We love to get feedback from our listeners.
That's right.
And to do that, you can dial 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Call us and leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show, as long as it's not too vulgar. So.
Okay. can be vulgar.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, a little bit, yeah. Just don't go crazy.
Just don't go crazy.
Don't go crazy.
Also, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to and subscribe also. YouTube and Vimeo. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.